This morning's scripture reading comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have the honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We don't know too much about Mary before she bumps into the angel who brings her this unbelievable news in this morning's scripture reading. We know she was young. Well, being young seems to be the wish of many who have begun to experience the challenges of age. It's not that easy being young either. Oh, there are dreams a young may have for their lives, but the thing with dreams is they can be a far cry from reality. Reality has a way of derailing many of the dreams of the young, if they dare to dream at all, especially in Mary's day. It is implied that Mary was poor, as were most of her people. Very few knew the luxuries of life, and those who did used their position to make sure the masses remained poor and oppressed. The other thing we know about Mary is that she was engaged to be married to Joseph. But with the news the angel brought, Mary was probably wondering if that was just another thing in her life that wasn't going to work out for her. In fact, most of what the angel had to say to Mary seemed only to suggest that her life would only get more complicated. Mary could probably have felt that life just didn't ever seem to work out for her. That might have been the story of her life. So the angel Gabriel is sent by God with a message to Mary, a virgin who is espoused to a man named Joseph. When the angel came, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary's response? Well, she is confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. That's the word according to Luke's gospel anyway. Perhaps in her confusion, Mary had to wonder what kind of mistake this might be. Remember now, Gabe hadn't even gotten to the part about Mary having the baby yet, and she is already confused and wondering what kind of greeting this may be. There are many renditions of this scene portrayed by artists. as I imagine it in my eye, I see Mary looking over her shoulder to see just who it is the angel's talking to. Favored one? Who, me? You must be talking to somebody else. Never have I been called favored by anybody. Favored one, look at me. What about my life makes you think that I am favored? I know my life, and the view from here is that not one single piece of evidence suggests that I am favored, much less that the Lord is with me. If the Lord is with me, why is it that life just never seems to work out for me? It's the point at which Mary is called favored one that she becomes confused. It just didn't seem to fit. Favor was the last thing she felt. Did you ever have to convince someone that they were favored? Or in the glow of the Advent candle today, maybe I should say loved. This is where Elizabeth enters stage left. She might have been the only person who would have believed Mary's story. After all, the angel who had visited her husband Zechariah with the promise of a son was gaining credibility with each passing month of her own pregnancy. An angel, you say? Announcing you would have a baby, you say? Patting her abdomen to calm the new life stirring within her, Elizabeth might have said, Mary, you are blessed. Blessed by God. Who's the angel now? Elizabeth was no less an angel than was Gabriel. In fact, she may have had more effective message in getting God's message across to Mary. When the angel told Mary that she was favored by God, she was confused. When she heard Elizabeth, her own relative, validate and affirm that message, she felt something else entirely. Elizabeth bought into and echoed God's script for Mary. That might still have left some room for confusion, but it could have only have left Mary feeling loved. Elizabeth believed her. Elizabeth saw in her what God saw. That might be a good description of what love is. Looking at someone and seeing the same thing that God sees in them. It's more than Elizabeth telling Mary that she had her back or even that she believed her story. Well, that would have been a loving and supportive thing to do for a young woman in Mary's situation. What Elizabeth wanted to do was assure Mary that she was worthy of God's love. Elizabeth could see that, even if Mary couldn't. That is love. Many have sung with Elizabeth, "Blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's easy to love Mary after the fact and to see and celebrate what God is doing by including her in the plan of the ages. But the good news of the gospel is it's not just Mary who's favored. God's favor is for all people. There's a song of a different tune. It's not always easy to see what God sees in everyone. It's often difficult to see anything good in some people. In this year's Advent movie, The Man Who Invented Christmas, Charles Dickens is struggling with the writing of his book, A Christmas Carol. He receives inspiration in the unlikely voice of his housemaid, Tara. As he is reading some rough drafts of his story to her, she takes issue with how Dickens is portraying the character of Ebenezer Scrooge. She feels like the story would be better if Scrooge were to do something to help save Tiny Tim's life. Dickens was persuaded that Scrooge wouldn't change, that in fact he couldn't change. He had been that way for a very long time. Tara protested all the more. There is something good in him somewhere. I know it. Ebenezer Scrooge was not the only one in whom Dickens struggled to see anything good. He had a conflicted relationship with his own father. Dickens had been subjected to harsh conditions of hunger and consigned to the workhouse when his father had been sent to debtor's prison. His shame allowed him to see only a shadow cast over his life by memories of his past. As Dickens struggled to make peace with his past, he discovered something beneath the shadow of his memories. It was his father who had taught him that nobody is useless in this life who lightens the burden of another. It was that adage that had driven Dickens to become the compassionate and benevolent man he was. And it was his father who had taught him that. He discovered something good in a man whom he thought there was nothing good. That discovery changed how Dickens perceived his father. He discovered the power of forgiveness, and that transformed their relationship. That is love. Here's the thing about love. We might never know how much somebody needs it, but we can be assured that everybody does need it. While their relationship was still covered beneath the shadows of the past, Charles turned his father away in anger. His mother intervened by saying, "Don't be unkind, Charlie. You don't know what he's been through. He feels it all. He would never tell you, but he feels it all." Luke was never one to leave loose ends. Did you notice that he concludes the conversation between Mary and Gabriel by saying, "Then the angel left her"? Debbie Thomas wonders how Mary's experience might have been different if Gabriel had stuck around to erase her doubts and silence her critics. But no, Gabriel leaves her alone to do the work. I appreciate that insight and the space that it opens up within the imagination to consider the point of Luke's editorial note and the implication of the angel's departure. But was Mary alone? Was she on her own once the angel left her? She might well have been, had it not been for Elizabeth, whose love might have made all the difference to Mary. We might never know how much somebody needs a loving word, but we can assume and be assured that everybody does need one. Maybe we don't know what they've been through. They might never tell us. Maybe their angel has left them too. Maybe the favor of God, if they ever perceived it at all, has been forgotten as well. Who will be their angel now? Who will bless them? Who will love them? Who will look at them and begin to see what God sees in them? Howard Thurman offers this wisdom in his poem, "The Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is still, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to speak peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Who's the angel now? Maybe when the song of the angel is still, it's up to us to be the angel. The work of Christmas becomes ours to do. What is the work of Christmas now? To love others as God loves them. To see in others what God sees in them. To love others with a love that makes us feel like singing. To love others with a love that could make all of the difference to them and to us. Amen.